Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
The Craig Ferguson Fancy Rascal stand-up tour continues throughout 2024. For a full list of dates and tickets, go to thecraigfergusonshow.com/tour. See you out there. thecraigfergusonshow.com/tour. My name is Craig Ferguson. The name of this podcast is Joy. I talk to interesting people about what brings them happiness. Today, we are blessed, my friends, blessed, because we're in the company of one of the nicest guys in show business. He wrote one of the greatest, most gentle but beautiful sitcoms, Everybody Loves Raymond. And now he travels the world eating whatever the hell he wants. Somebody feed Phil Rosenthal. Whenever I see you on TV, whenever I see your shows, you're always eating.
Phil. Yes, yes.
And I, you're sitting right here. I mean, there's not a scrap of fat on you. You must like work out all the time.
I work out every day.
Do you really?
I do something every day.
Really?
I try to get the 10,000 steps.
Do you do the treadmill and all that kind of stuff?
I walk a lot and I do weights. The older you get, the more weights.
You gotta do weights, yeah.
Right? Because you lose muscle mass.
Yeah, push-ups and sit-ups is what I do. I figured that.
Well, you're in fine shape.
Yeah, that's what I figure. It's like push-ups and sit-ups.
That's what my brother does.
Hotels, it's easier to just push-ups, sit-ups, calisthenics.
Yes.
You don't have to worry
about it. Do you like the hotel gym?
You know, I'm a germaphobe, Phil. I don't know if you can identify.
I didn't know that.
No, I'm not a big germaphobe. But
you're not Howie Mandel.
No. Howie's different level. Howie lives in a separate house from
the world.
Well, when he was telling me when his kids get sick,
yeah,
when they were young,
yeah,
he would go and stay in the guest house.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
He's freely admits it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
No, but he's such a sweet, great
guy.
He's
a lovely man. He's one of the nicest guys in show business.
He can have whatever quirks. Nobody's perfect.
No, nobody is perfect. But let me just tell, first of all, let me just say mazel tov on your, you and your daughter's book getting in the New York Times bestseller list.
Yeah,
Just Try It.
Yeah.
Is that a book to help kids, make kids eat things?
A little bit, yeah. But it's funny, the we've been reading it to kids and then we started realizing there's a lot of adults who won't try stuff.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
It's all about having an open mind. So we think, you know, maybe it's good for the parents to read it.
It is.
Right?
Because people don't. They're like, no, I don't like that. You ever had it? Yeah, I never had it, but I don't like it.
I know people. Do you know people like this? They haven't had fundamental things that you would think, how could you avoid? Like I knew grown men, like older than us.
Right.
Never had a cookie.
A cookie?
A cookie. Never had a piece of cake. This is true.
Is that some kind of homophobia from just after the war? Like, I don't eat cake. That's for sissies.
They were little kids.
Yeah.
How do you go to children's birthday parties and avoid this stuff? And you know what he said? What? Not interested.
Not interested.
Just wasn't interested.
That's a bigger problem than I'm not trying food. That's some kind of shutdown there.
Right?
That's bad. But let me ask you this then. Is there ever anything you've gone, because you travel the world and you eat everything. I've seen you.
I do.
Have you ever gone and said, look, you know, I just can't.
Yes.
Like fried bees or something.
So I was just in Iceland for the new season.
Oh, I've tasted that food up there. Jesus, that's bad. That is fucked. That licorice tasting seal flipper shit.
So what? Oh, when were you there last?
Only a couple of months ago. I inadvertently bought the wrong thing in the airport lounge. I'm like, it was the some kind of licorice flipper. It was awful. It was awful,
wow.
Phil.
I actually found good food. Well, you know,
in Iceland?
Yeah.
Talk to me.
When I go,
right,
I'm getting a lot of research done, not just from me, which anyone can do. You can Google best restaurants in Reykjavik, right?
And I bet there's good ones.
There are, now, especially now. I maintain that you can get a good meal anywhere now.
Yeah, probably. I think you're right.
Because
it's not like the old days.
Because the internet.
Because Yelp and stuff.
But the internet made the world flat, right?
Right.
A kid in Idaho can see what a chef in Paris is doing and emulate it and using local ingredients and create these mashups
and things.
So Iceland, I thought the best smoked salmon in the world was in Scotland. Scottish smoked salmon is spectacular.
It's unbelievable.
Might be even better in Iceland because the water is colder there.
You know what? I'm prepared to admit that it's a possibility.
It's possible.
Yeah, I think it is. And the next time I go to Iceland, I'm going to have the salmon. I'm not going to have whatever, because I've tasted some bad things in my life. And Iceland is one of them. Also, Japan. I know all the Japanese food is great.
Yeah, but...
Did you ever go to a sushi restaurant and think, that tentacle thing, can't do it?
I can do it.
You can? You can do all of it?
Well, here's the thing I wouldn't try in Iceland.
Right.
Putrefied shark.
I think that's what I had. Yeah, it's the worst thing I ever tasted.
So that's like a dare that they
get,
right?
Yeah, I know.
What they do is there's a spirit that you drink after. And I think...
I don't drink.
I get it.
Yeah.
So there's no reason for you to be eating this shit.
I'm an idiot.
I saw Bourdain do it on his show.
Yeah.
And listen, he's the hero. He is the super...
He's the Carson of what you're doing.
I only exist because of him, right? All of us who do this owe him the greatest debt in the world because he pioneered and revolutionized an entire genre.
Created the whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
He eats this putrefied shark and throws up on camera.
Wow.
Now, if Anthony Bourdain, who can handle anything.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm like, thank you for taking the hit for the rest of us. I'm not doing it.
I went to a place, you know the documentary Jiro Dreams of Sushi?
Yeah.
So when my oldest son was 13, we went to Japan.
Yes.
Because instead of as a kind of bar mitzvah thing.
Yes.
His mother is Jewish. So for, the Scottish bar mitzvah, we go to Japan.
I love it.
Yeah. So we go to that restaurant. We go to the Jiro.
Jiro, yeah.
And, he's a sushi chef. He gives you what you're going to eat.
Okay.
You're not choosing anything. It's like,
no, omakase. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what you're getting.
Yeah.
And there was like number eight. I was like, really fighting to get this down. Some of the stuff was amazing. It was delicious, but I was really trying to get this down. And it was, I think it was salmon eggs or something. Some eggs.
The little orange eggs. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really
tough for you.
Really bad.
A lot of it is a texture thing, right?
Yeah. It was texture, I think. And it was the only thing that my son wouldn't eat. He just said, I can't do that. And through the interpreter, Master Jiro said to me, said, that's good. One more for daddy. So I had to eat two.
Oh,
because you can't offend the chef.
No, that's
it's a lot of manners around this stuff. Do you find that going around the world that there's a lot of custom and, kind of behavior and politeness around? There's a lot of ceremony around everybody's food, right?
I am going to taste anything put in front of me, but if I can avoid the scary thing, I will.
Right.
That's... So like in Mexico, I was sitting at a counter at a Oaxacan restaurant. This is in the show. And I'm with my companion for this scene. And the female chef, she's giving us such gorgeous food. It's all fantastic. But what I've heard is that they serve iguana in this place.
That would be tough.
And I'm scared. And I say to my companion, I heard there's iguana here. If they give us iguana, are you going to taste it? And she goes, I don't know. Are you going to taste it? And I'm like, you're Mexican. You're more used to this maybe than I am coming from. And the chef hears us. She says, oh, you want iguana? And I go, oh.
So you get the iguana special.
And she shows it to me. She goes, there it is. And it's sitting in a bowl on the counter. and it's blackened already.
Okay.
You see the curly tail.
Yeah.
You see the body. You see the face like this.
Yeah.
And she goes, if you want it, it'll be another half hour to prepare it.
We don't have time.
Exactly what I did. Oh, look at the time.
Great.
And I pussed out.
Yeah.
And then she does this. Oh, well, if you don't have time for that, how about this? And she reaches under the counter. You're going to think I'm making this up. It's all in the show. And she pulls out a bowl of moving, living beetles.
Oh, Jesus. I can't. Oh, I can't do that.
You and I don't want to offend. I don't want to offend.
Right.
So live my life not wanting to upset anybody.
Right.
And God forbid I should be discourteous or rude. But what flew out of my mouth at that moment was, oh, no, 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 no. And I ran away.
Yeah, good. You know what? You're a human being. You're allowed to have preferences. And it's not, I don't think it's terrible manners to turn down live beetles.
My friend was in China, rural China, not like a major city. But
sure.
He's the guest of honor. Why? Because he's American at a banquet.
Yeah.
They bring out a live poisonous snake. And they hold it up next to him. He's freaking out because they're holding it by the neck and the snake is wriggling.
Yeah.
And they take out a knife and they slit open this live snake and they pull out the snake's gallbladder and squeeze it into a glass and give it to him to drink because he's the guest of honor.
They're fucking with him. They're fucking with him. Come on. They're like,
this is supposed to have... You're supposed to be have virility if you drink this.
Really?
You're supposed to have, you know, manliness. I'm like,
I get enough manliness.
I go, how bad was it? He says, as bad as you can imagine. And the very worst part that I didn't even think about as I put it to my lips, the worst part was that it was warm. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I mean,
I could get sick thinking about it.
But also, I'm sure then that, you know, we're going to get letters and emails as well. People will be like, that's cruel to snakes. You know,
well, this is not what we do.
No, we don't do it.
But in rural China.
I've eaten snake, though. I have eaten snake.
I have tasted rattlesnake.
Rattlesnake, it's not unpleasant.
It's not my favorite. It's a little oily,
Yeah, it's like oily chicken. I thought like oily chicken.
Everyone says tastes
gamey. Gamey oily chicken.
Everybody says tastes like chicken. I'm like, in that case, could I have chicken?
Yeah, let's have chicken. Now, when you were doing, because look, when I became aware of you, you were the comedy, like you were one of the great gods of the comedy sitcom world. You know, it's like, you know, Everybody Loves Raymond was like a huge show. You know, you and Raymond put it together. It's a great show.
Thank you.
And so I'm thinking as I look at that now, I'm guessing that there is, when you think about it, there is always like cooking and stuff going on. Everybody's kind of
food is a big thing.
Yeah, it's a big thing in that show.
Well,
it never occurred to me.
It's a big thing in
life.
Life.
Yeah.
I found, it's a long story, but my parents weren't great cooks. They worked, both worked.
Right.
Didn't have a lot of money. The cuisine in our house was cheap.
Yeah, I grew up in Scotland, so I still win when it comes to fighting for the worst. The worst of food.
My mom had a setting on the oven for shoe. This is how you know it's ready.
It's ready.
Ready. Meaning all the flavor has been taken out, and here it is.
Yeah.
So I didn't even think steak was something that was good until I was in my 20s. People said, you want to go to a steakhouse? Said, why would anybody want steak? Because I only had the worst of the worst.
Right.
Tough, chewy. I couldn't leave the table. Also, forget just try it. Yeah, in my house, it was just finish it.
Yeah, you got to finish it. Yeah.
Forget just try it is like the reform version.
Right.
My house was the orthodox version. Just finish it.
Yeah.
So I couldn't stand it, but I went reluctantly to this steakhouse. It was like New Year's Eve in my head. I couldn't believe how great that steak. I literally said, that steak?
That's so
I
weird.
I wanted to take a picture and show it to my mother.
Well, you know what's weird about it is because you would think, because you're like, your love of food is palpable and you're clearly very interested and drawn to all sorts of food. I would have thought it would have come in early in life, but clearly it didn't, right? It wasn't like
it
that.
It wasn't until I left the house.
Right.
I always loved, I loved fast food. I loved anything marketed to us, right?
Right.
Like McDonald's, Burger King, all that stuff. Because at least it had salt and fat and flavor.
Yeah, it did have flavor.
I didn't care it was artificial bologna.
Right.
It was tasty. That made the difference.
Yeah.
And so I always pursued it. And whenever I did get anything from another place, Like, I went to Atlanta when I was nine. Never went anywhere. Went to Atlanta for a bar mitzvah when I was nine. My cousins took me to a new place that I'd never heard of called 7-Eleven. And I go to 7-Eleven and they have a Slurpee machine.
Oh, yeah.
First time.
For Slurpee?
I tasted this thing. I go, this is why you travel.
Do you know what?
This is why you travel.
The reason I became an American.
Yeah.
When I was 13 years old, my father and I come visit my uncle and my aunt and their kids in New York. They live in Smithtown, Long Island.
Yes.
So I go from Scotland, I go to Smithtown, Long Island when I'm 13. It's 1975.
Great.
Right?
Yeah.
And they take me to a bowling alley and someone gives me root beer from a fountain over crushed ice in a bowling alley. And
you never
I
had
tasted
this.
It. Never tasted in my life. And I said, whatever this is, yeah, I want to be part of this. This is when I am going to become an American. When I taste root beer over crushed ice in a bowling alley in Long Island, I'm like, this is it.
So I'm preaching the converted.
I understand entirely what you're saying. Yeah, of course.
When you have an experience that you love somewhere else, it makes you fall in love with going places.
Exactly. It makes you want to go there.
The Craig Ferguson Fancy Rascal stand-up tour continues throughout the United States in 2024. For a full list of dates and tickets, go to thecraigfergusonshow.com/tour. See you out there.
You know how you can make your summer vacation better? Is with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding and loungewear. It's like being at home, but also going away. It's great. And now you can get 35% off. You can get the unmatched softness. It's really as buttery smoothness of Cozy Earth's bedding. It's better than the finest hotels, and you get a really good night's sleep on your travels. And that's important. It's travel-friendly. It's hassle-free. Cozy Earth's bedding comes in adorable totes, making it the perfect companion for your adventures near and far. You can stay cool and comfy during long flights, and you know what that's like, with the Cozy Earth temperature-regulating bamboo joggers and pullover crew. Makes you look cool when you're traveling. I like it. Well, as cool as I can look when I'm traveling. So discover your next destination for ultimate comfort at Cozy Earth. Visit CozyEarth.com and use our code JOY at checkout, and you'll get 35% off. And let them know we sent you after the checkout. Promo code JOY. J-O-Y. JOY. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Look, everybody has stuff that stresses them out and annoys them, and I'm no different from anybody else. For example, I get very irritated that people that wear shoes that look like feet. That's not a big deal, but it's a big deal to me. Obviously, there are much more important things to get worried about. Get them off your chest. When you keep them bottled up, it starts to affect you negatively. Now, therapy is a safe place to do that. That's what I did. And you figure out what's going on with you, work it through, and then let it go. Let it go, you see, that's what I think. I've done a lot of therapy, and I have to say I'm a very satisfied customer. If you think I'm kind of tense now, you should have seen me before I started. I really do recommend it. If you can do it, you should do it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, I'd suggest giving BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, it's designed to be convenient, it's flexible, and it's suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with, you know, a licensed therapist, a proper one, and then you can switch your therapist at any time for no additional charge. I just think it's a good idea. Give it a shot. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/joypod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/joypod.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Now, be honest with me. Have you ever been to a place and you've tasted a lot of different food and you thought, you know, I don't need to come back?
Nope.
That's great.
There's always something.
There's always something good.
I'm telling you, good meal anywhere now.
All right.
Good meal anywhere. But you got to do your homework. You got to research a little bit.
Yeah.
So I have something, though, that maybe you don't have, which is a production company in New York that was Bourdain's production company. So they have fixers all over the world. And
MacGuffin.
I say, here's what I'm thinking. And they go, here's what you should be thinking. Here's the new, and I leave room in the schedule for serendipity. We're going to find stuff that a chef, when we meet there, they'll go, where are you going tomorrow? And you'll tell them, they go, that's not the best pizza. The best pizza's over here.
All right.
Right? So you have to.
Where is the best pizza? I mean, I think of you as a guy who knows New York a little bit. Where
can
is
I tell you something?
Yeah.
I could name 10 places right now in L.A. That
in LA?
You can have great mozza.
Right. Mozza's good pizza.
Pizzana.
Yeah.
Have you had that?
No.
Quarter sheets.
No. See, I don't know much about L.A. pizza.
Can I take you?
Yes. Yes,
you're here, right?
Yeah, well, I'm here until tomorrow morning.
Oh.
So you either take me tonight or we're not going.
Where are you living now?
Well, I'm in Scotland.
Yes.
And in New York.
Where in Scotland?
In the southwest, like about an hour south of Glasgow.
Okay, so Glasgow is in the new season, and we went, and I'm telling you, I had a couple meals there that are phenomenal. One was
great,
the best shawarma I've ever had in my life.
Indian food is incredible in Glasgow.
The shawarma king.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you had it?
Yeah. With Indian and Pakistani community in Glasgow.
Yes.
It's kind of like Italians or Jewish community in New York.
Okay.
They changed the game. Do you know what I mean? It's like when they came in.
Well, this man is Syrian. This is Syrian.
Syrian?
That's shawarma.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Middle Eastern.
I don't know about that. Right. So I don't know about that.
Oh, you got it.
I thought it was like Indian shawarma. It sounds shawarma. Or maybe Jewish shawarma.
Hey, you get stop swarming me.
Yeah, you're swarma bee. Yeah, you're crowd me. You're like a swarma bees. So
I think you'll like it.
Yeah, I think
hard
I will
not
like
to
it.
Like.
I mean, I love Mediterranean food. I didn't know it was called shawarma though. See, I don't know about food. I know what I like. I don't know what I like.
But will you try new things?
Definitely.
Because I wrote a book for you.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely. I mean, when my kids were little, getting them to try stuff, I understand.
It's hard.
It is hard. Well, one of them was hard. I have two boys. One of them, Ollie, for like but 2 years, it was Annie's macaroni.
I know. Yeah.
You couldn't really get
doing
else. But the other one will eat pretty much anything.
So this book, not that I'm plugging the book, but the
plugging it a bit, but
the thing is, the kid left on its own will eat, right?
Yeah.
The kid, most people, you know, when they get hungry, they want to eat.
They will eat.
And they will eat. So, and sometimes it's not about the food that they're pushing back on you. It's about asserting their personhood. It's about having, right?
I think
it's not really about the food.
That's a very astute observation. I think you're right.
And left to their own, they might try it.
And you know what? The kid that wouldn't eat was the first kid. Mm-hmm. And that's the one you're like, here, eat. Oh, baby. And the second kid, you're like, you'll be fine.
Exactly right.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
that kid ate more.
Yeah. That's funny, though.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
And then I tell this to somebody, and they go, well, that's too much trouble. We just pay them. I said, what do you mean? Here's 25 cents if you take a bite. What? And that works? Yep.
Yeah, well, I guess it would. It's not a terrible idea. So you're in Glasgow, and you have great shawarma. What else do you have in Glasgow?
I got to look it up, because I forget everything. But if you, people listening, if you look at the Scotland episode, you'll see the great
places.
So you
go to Glasgow and Edinburgh, and where else?
Isle of Skye.
They
took a helicopter to the Isle of Skye. Gorgeous. I mean,
that's a beautiful place. It's really heavenly place.
It is heavenly.
It is gorgeous.
And I know it rains a lot of the time, but the sun broke when we were there.
Yeah, but when the sun is out,
it's absolutely magical.
Yeah.
So I have this website, philrosenthalworld.com.
Right.
And everywhere we go in the show is there. So I'm going to tell you now.
Tell me now what restaurants you go to. Because I used to work in a restaurant in Glasgow, a very famous restaurant in Glasgow.
Okay.
I don't know if Bourdain went to it or not when he did Glasgow. But Bourdain liked Glasgow a lot. I remember because they talk about him still there. He said he loved Glasgow, one of his favorite cities in the world.
I love it.
Good place
to get. Our friend Brad Paisley,
yeah.
You know him?
Yeah.
It's his favorite place, said he could move there and live there.
Really?
Yeah.
Brad Paisley?
Yeah.
Well, the town of Paisley is just on the outskirts
of
Glasgow. That's right.
Maybe that's why he likes it. Tantrum Donuts.
Oh, right. I've never been there, but I've heard of it.
So good.
Yeah?
Yeah. In Edinburgh, Roseleaf, that's exciting. Johnny Walker, Princess Street, we went there. Oink on Victoria Street in Edinburgh.
That's not a vegan restaurant.
Not at all.
Right, okay.
IJ Mellis for cheese and stuff in Edinburgh. Mary's Milk Bar for ice cream.
Okay.
Delightful. Okay, here we go. Glasgow. Gaga.
Gaga? Lady Gaga is a restaurant in Glasgow?
It's a wonderful place. Julie Lin is the chef.
I think I know about this. I've heard about this
so
place,
it's Malaysian food.
Okay. I love that idea.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, yeah,
I think
yeah.
you'll love it. It's yeah. one of the great meals. And then that Shawarma King.
Shawarma King, it really made an effect. It landed with you, Shawarma King, huh?
I think it's the best shawarma. I mean, yeah, to find it.
I don't think
and
I've
been
had
to the
shawarma.
Middle East.
Right.
So what it is, you ever see those big, in Mexico, they're called trompos, these giant
the meat
things
thing?
Of meat that's all layered.
Yeah, and like then where they make
it's
kebabs
on a spit.
Out of it.
Exactly, right. Yeah. And then they trim off the sides as it rotates.
That's real drunk people food in Britain.
Is it?
Yeah, like when you come out of the pub at 11 o'clock,
yes.
you go get a kebab. It's like people think it's fish and chips. Well, I guess there's fish and chips, but uh-huh. kebab. People get drunk and have a kebab because the kebab stores are open late.
Yes.
Because everybody who runs them is immigrants and they want to, you know, earn a living. And you can get a kebab. I've woken up sick with kebab fever a couple
get
of
it.
Days.
I get it. But when they put that garlic mayo on it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's beautiful. So is that so shawarma, nice. A kebab?
Well, kebab I always think of as meat on a stick.
Right, right? That's right. But that's kebab. But kebab is like shawarma, I think.
Is that right?
I think so, maybe. Something like that. I know that in Britain, maybe they're calling it wrong in Britain. Maybe, because I think you're right. I think technically kebab, I think it is the thing on a skewer. But in Britain, it's the pita pocket with the shaved meat on it.
Is kebab.
Is a kebab. They call it a kebab. But I'm guessing.
That's probably right.
And that's why I'm thinking I have that shawarma.
And I learned that I'm saying it wrong. Shawarma. It's shawarma.
Oh,
it's like a whole.
But
this comes from the Middle East.
Yeah.
But then in Mexico, when you get the tacos al pastor.
Yeah.
That came from the Middle East, except in Mexico, they had pork instead of lamb.
Oh, so they did it? Okay,
yes.
See, I like that. Yeah,
they came there. So the whole world is better. This is my whole point.
Right.
The whole world is better when we cross-pollinate.
Definitely.
When we get this food from the immigrants who learned how to take maybe cheaper cuts of food just to survive and turned it into not just something palatable, but phenomenal, that's what makes the world go round.
I agree. I grew up in a town. Like Glasgow, which is, you know, a Victorian shipbuilding town.
Yes.
And the food, by the own admission of the people who lived there, was atrocious.
Uh-huh.
And what happened, the first wave of immigrants to come in are Italians.
Uh-huh.
And Italians bring in coffee, and we taste coffee, and we're like, oh my God.
This is good.
I grew up, like, I thought coffee was like, you know, it was a powdered thing you poured hot water on.
So when is this happening?
Well, the Italians were in way before,
yes.
You know, but when you go to Italian restaurants, then they have like coffee machines.
Yeah.
But the reason you go to an Italian restaurant, because attached to the Italian restaurant is the fish and chip shop, and everybody buys fish and chips.
That's right.
People think fish and chips are British. Not British. It's Italian. The Italians brought the fish and chips. The Italian restaurants in Glasgow, anyway, it was fish and chips from Italy. They would make, I'm making a fish and chips. They have Glasgow Italian accents. So they talk a bit like me, but also a wee bit Italian as well, like that.
Wow.
It's crazy.
I love it.
So they come in and they start bringing in Italian food. So they're making pastas and stuff. And then the Pakistani and Indian community come in the 60s and 70s. And then everything goes crazy. Then there's like, you know, the Italian restaurants, the Indian restaurants, the curries that people are not tasting, these spices they've never had before.
Right.
It's insane. And now there's quite a lot, particularly in Glasgow, there's a huge Chinese influence. There's a lot of Chinese coming into the university.
Great.
So there's a lot of new Chinese and Malaysian restaurants and stuff like that at the bottom end of Byers Road, which I think is what you're talking about, near the university. And so all this cultural input, I think, improved the city beyond measure.
Who is fighting this? Like, there's
I
such
don't
idiots,
understand.
Right?
I know, that's
because
what I don't understand.
Because it makes life grand.
Yeah.
You want to eat the same thing
every
day?
No,
Isn't it fun to have not just food, but friends from other places and learn something, God forbid?
I totally agree. But, you know, you and I are maybe not everybody. That's the thing. Let me just say, there is one thing I've never tasted that my wife has tasted when she was on a vacation before we met. She and some college friends went to South America.
Yeah.
And they were offered a guinea pig. They ate it. Guinea pig served with the mouth open.
Oh, I've seen it. I've never been to Peru, but I really do want to go. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to have to taste that.
Yes,
but
you are.
I am afraid.
Yeah, because that's like, to me,
it's
no
a
disrespect to guinea pig.
No, it's a rodent.
Yeah, it's a rat.
I had I think squirrel once. Which scared the hell out of me.
I know people who eat squirrel. I have, you know, in rural Scotland, some of the guys who, you know, came up there, like they're deep cut. It's not like a, not regular people doing it, but I do know a couple of guys. One of the guys who, a forester I know, he'll shoot and eat a squirrel. You know, like he'll take it home and cook.
And the rural south of America, they'll do
it. Yeah, the squirrel. He makes chili out of it and stuff like
okay.
that.
Okay. And
yeah, not for me.
But.
And he gets their little clothes.
Listen,
and makes
I was in Mumbai for the first time. Have you been there? Have you been
to India? I've never been to mainland India. I've been to Sri Lanka, but I've never been to mainland India.
Do you like Indian food?
Oh, I love Indian food. Well, I think it might be my favorite.
If it's your favorite, you have to go.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But I will say this. The first stop, when we're shooting Mumbai, I've never been there in my life. I'm kind of afraid.
Right.
Because people, you know, they do get a stomach thing when they go because they're not used to that food and the water and everything else is different. And you can get sick. And I was really worried about, but I was assured that the guy taking me around knew the places that I would not get sick. Okay. I didn't.
You didn't get sick.
However, first stop, try this. What is it? Goat brain curry.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a lot for your first thing.
Yeah, the goat brain is a any kind of brain.
I'll tell you this. I eat it. I taste it with bread. You sop it up. It's just like.
Yeah, you got to have bread with your bread.
It's meat, meat in a sauce, right?
Yeah, right, right. You're right.
You'd never know.
Really?
It's the idea that keeps us away from stuff.
But isn't that true of so many things? It's the you get ahead of yourself with the idea.
Yes.
And yeah. No, you're right.
I had to eat bugs. I had to eat an ant in Tokyo.
How many ants? Just one ant? I think I could eat one ant.
Like a big black carpenter ant. It came on the salad. I'm like, does this restaurant have a problem? Should we call the people?
So,
should we call the exterminator?
So the ant was on the side.
The ant's on the side. My compatriot says, you got to try it. Tastes like lemon. I said, well, okay. If it's lemon flavor we're going after.
Yeah. But why can't we just have
lemon? Some lemon?
We could have chicken with lemon on it. Let's have lemon chicken. Why do we have to have ant?
And I'm like shaking my head like, God, what did I get into with this show?
Wait, this is
what
a whole thing for and, you now. It's become a whole
But I
world.
Tasted it and damn if it wasn't like a lemon drop on my tongue. And I thought, okay, did they baste it in lemon? Is that why? No, the chef says these ants from this particular part of the forest in this particular part of Japan, these ants taste like lemon. Who the hell found this out?
The first guy who's like really hungry. And he's like,
Tasted all the ants.
I'm so hungry I could
this
eat
This one
an
tastes
ant.
Like crap. This yes, one tastes
this
like
This one a- tastes like ant. I don't want that. This one tastes like lemon.
Good one.
Yeah.
And so I'm at now, am I going to a restaurant and saying, hey, do you have the ants that taste like... No, it's not the first thing I want when I go to the restaurant, but I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
The journey is its own reward.
Yeah.
The tasting of it.
Have you ever gone sick from anything you eat on the road, though?
One time,
okay.
I got sick in all my travels around the world, San Francisco.
What did you eat?
Don't know.
Okay.
Because I ate a lot that day,
right.
And that night, we call it Bush Gush.
Oh, yeah. Bush Gush.
Bush.
Like shawarma.
Bush is out the top end and Gush, you can imagine.
Or other. I mean, I know I've been there. I got it once from smoked salmon.
Oh, that's very bad smoked salmon.
Yeah, it's very bad smoked salmon. I took it and I knew, you know that sometimes when you eat something, you go,
hey, it's a little off.
Something's not right here.
Yeah.
But I muscled through. You must never muscle through.
No, never.
No, something's off. Okay, step back.
No. You can get a bad piece of fish and you know it instantly.
Yeah, and I knew it and I ate the fish because I didn't want to appear rude.
I get it.
And so I ate the fish and about 2 hours later, then I went on a ride that lasted 3 days. It was crazy. I'd never been so sick. And I used to love salmon and I didn't eat salmon for about 10 years after
that. When you get sick from a food, you never want that food again.
That's what it feels like, right? Although I tried oysters,
and
I never need to eat that. That ain't food. I don't know why people make such a fuss about that.
Was a brave man who once tried an oyster. That's a famous saying. Yes.
That's crazy. Do you like oysters?
I do.
You do?
I'll tell you why. There are certain foods that are evocative of the place they come.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I felt when I had the Talisker scotch from the barrel at Talisker, and you're like...
Look, I'm Scottish, but I got to be honest with you. Whiskey is not food. You understand that, right? I mean, I know that they say...
But there is a flavor.
There's definitely a flavor.
And you know, I know you don't drink, but
well, only because I drank so much. Not because I'm against it. Just because if I drink, I go to hospital or jail. That's why I don't drink.
I was with Peter O'Toole once. Did you ever meet Peter O'Toole?
Yeah, I had him on the old late night show.
Oh, was he the greatest guy? Oh, all right, so we can talk about him. But he said, oh, would you like something to drink? And I said, I would. Are you drinking? He goes, I can drink, but my doctor says, if I do, I'll die.
Yeah. Yeah, God bless him.
What a peach of a guy.
He was amazing. But he was one of those legendary alcoholism was more entertaining than perhaps it is now. I mean, it's like, you know, Richard Burton and Peter O'Toole.
Wasn't he the greatest raconteur? Oh, wasn't he just him and Richard Harris?
And Richard Harris, yes, I was going to say as well. But I think probably there's a great old, I don't know if it's a poem or I think it's a poem, an old Irish thing about drinking. It's about, so we spent another night, and something about in the tavern. Oh no, we spent another night telling poetry and proses, but each man knows he'll be alone when the sacred gin mill closes.
Oh man.
And alcoholism's not about the fun you're having, and it's about 4 o'clock in the morning in the fetal position crying for your mother.
Oh man.
It's a whole different game. And I don't think any of these guys were spared that. I think you got to be honest about it. It's hellacious. If you can't do it, if you can do it, like if I could drink, I would drink. And I can still make a recommendation for the best Scotch whiskey in my mind. And it's not Talisker, which is a great whiskey.
Tell me.
The greatest one to my mind is a whiskey called, weirdly enough, it sounds more like an LA neighborhood, Highland Park.
I know it.
Highland Park, it's from great. The Orkneys. Yeah. Get yourself a 12 or older year Highland Park. I would take that over even a...
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Over a Talisker or even a Macallan.
I love Glenlivet.
Yeah.
That's my go-to if like, you know,
but my guess is you can have a glass of whiskey and then that's, you're done. You enjoy the taste and...
By the way, I'm also a flyweight. I mean, I have one and a goodbye.
Yeah, yeah.
That's me. But listen, I'm in it for the flavor.
Right. And that's what means you can have it. If you're in it for the flavor, you can have it. If you're in it for the medicine for what's ever missing in your soul, you can't have it.
I honestly don't like the feeling of being loopy in any way, with anything. I don't like it.
You don't know what a mitzvah that is? That's unbelievable to have that.
Really?
Yeah, because...
We all like an escape. Listen, sure. My son has started making a business out of THC-laced cookies.
Okay.
Okay? And it's a cookie mix. It's called Zaza's. And you can pre-make the batter and put the balls in the dough balls in the freezer. Right. And then right before bed, in the toaster oven for 10 minutes, you have a fresh, hot, baked chocolate chip cookie. And for me, it's not about getting high.
Yeah.
Although you do start to feel it,
right.
Maybe listen to a little music. You're in college again. And then lights out. Good night. Sleep through the night. That's why I take it.
Well, see, what's interesting about it, and that's great.
Yes.
But the thing to remember about these things is they react differently with different people.
Absolutely.
Because if I had that, I would be psychotic and I would need a drink.
Even at a low dose.
I'm 100% sure.
Because everyone's dosage, that's why you're not seeing it. What's the word? Normalized? Not normalized. When you try to regulate something and you have to have like a dose.
A dosage thing of,
yes,
of how like much. You can't do that because everybody reacts.
Everybody's different.
Right, right. And I tell you another thing. Like when you and I were young, like when you said college, like there were drugs around and people experiment with drugs and stuff. Like you can't do that now. There's fentanyl and everything.
You could die.
You could die.
Kids.
Like you die from a joint.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
I mean, it's like, oh my God, it's everywhere.
In college, we'd have what's called a nickel bag would last us the semester.
Yeah.
But now one puff and God.
Lights out, you're done. Because of that strange stuff that's everywhere.
I don't do it. I use it only to sleep and only once or twice a week at the most.
Right.
Well, but it's good when you travel, I think. Although you got to be careful what
borders,
country you're going to.
Yeah, you know, I do that when I, you know, because I famously carry a lot of guns. So I don't. You look to me like, what?
What?
No.
Well, but, you're good at saying a straight line.
But you got to be careful because people are different. Now, here's the thing. I remember once I went to rural Morocco.
Yeah.
I was out there, really remember what I was doing out there, but I was out there for having some fun.
If you don't remember,
yeah,
you were doing something fun.
But I don't think I was drinking it. In fact, I'm pretty sure I wasn't drinking. But I was, it was a long time ago, and I remember I was with a girlfriend, and we went to go to a restaurant, and the guy at the door said, I'm sorry, you have to go to separate parts of the restaurant. It's like we don't let men and women, unless they're married, sit together. So she had to go and sit with the single woman, and I had to go and sit with the single dudes. And the married couples can sit in the middle, but you have to be married.
Wow.
I know.
Interesting.
It was like a whole thing. And it kind of, you know, I kind of liked it. You know, I'm not advocating for in America, but I was like, oh, this is different.
It's an hour.
My girlfriend didn't like it.
Yeah.
She felt like she had been in some way
insulted,
you know, a little bit. She felt it wasn't. She's a Western woman who was in a rural part of the world, and the customs were different. You know,
listen, there's customs that all over the world where they have to lighten up a little, right?
I know, but as time
goes on.
Well, if you ask people to lighten up, though, Phil, and they don't want to. You know, they want to hang on to some stuff.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You ever run into trouble on the way? People like, hey, you're American. We're not crazy about you guys right now.
No, I don't know how great it is to be Jewish at the moment, but
who saw that coming?
Not me.
I mean, that's
shocking.
I know. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, freaked me out.
Yes.
So are you? I'm guessing the Palestinian restaurants. No.
I have a scene in Dubai.
Yeah.
We filmed it almost a year ago now, before the troubles.
Yeah.
I go in, there's a woman who is from, I guess, Gaza or the West Bank. She emigrated to Dubai, as many people do, because it's like 85% immigrants, Dubai.
Really?
Have you been there?
No, I've never been to Dubai.
You drive down the street, you're like, oh, this is what Vegas would be if they had real money. I mean, just unbelievable city of the future.
I know, like, cop cars or Bugatti Veyrons and stuff like that.
Can't imagine.
Nuts.
Monorails running on both sides of the
like
highway.
That Simpsons like Simpsons episode.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But then there's old Dubai, which is only about 50, 60 years old.
Right.
But that's where the Indian restaurants are and the Palestinian restaurants are.
Right,
and
right.
Restaurants from all over the Middle East. So I have this meal with this Palestinian woman And it connected so deeply to me and her story. And I just fell in love with her as a human being.
Right.
And we got along so great that we got emotional.
Yeah.
Where this is supposed to be our natural enemy.
Yeah.
Gorgeous, wonderful experience. And all I can, that's my answer to all of this.
Well,
why don't you sit and eat with these people? If we sat and ate.
Well, that's what they say, break bread, isn't it? When you're talking about,
yes,
you know, a conciliatory meeting, you talk about, you use the expression, well, let's break bread together.
Exactly,
let's,
right. Because it's something we automatically relate to because we all do it no matter who we are.
Well, we all got to do it.
We all got to eat.
Yeah.
And if the food is good, we're already connecting on something we understand that's wonderful, that we're already happy.
Yeah, we're already happy.
I can't
we're
kill
yeah.
you because I'm happy eating with you.
Yeah, yeah, we're eating, and then there's enough
yes.
for both of us.
And then if we share a joke or a laugh, now we're friends.
That's what I feel about it too. The humor and food.
They're that's
very,
it.
Obviously, for you, very closely related because
yes.
everybody's got a. I pitched this idea years ago.
Yes,
I never had, came anything. I was going to do this show where I would go anywhere in the world and do what you do with food,
yes.
except do it with stand-up.
Right.
Like I would go to Japan and I'd learn an act phonetically and go and try and do it.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? Or,
yeah.
But, and I thought it would be really cool, but you know, I could never sell it. I don't know why.
It's hard to sell stuff.
Yeah, it is. Right.
Listen,
now,
speaking
yeah.
of Peter O'Toole,
mm.
I tried to do two pilots with him.
No way.
He wanted, when he did a movie called King Ralph with John Goodman.
I remember it. Yeah,
so
yeah.
John Goodman was taking a break during his hiatus from Roseanne, the biggest
right.
sitcom at that time.
I know. I've talked to Matt Williams, who was one of the creators of it. You
great,
know.
Great, great. I would say even groundbreaking show.
Amazing show, yeah.
Held up a mirror to an American living room.
Yeah.
Right? And what was going on in it.
I'd go as far as to say it.
Yeah.
No, I would. I was going to say there's yeah. no Raymond without Roseanne, but I don't think that's true because I think Raymond is also connected to All in the Family. And
older
yeah,
shows.
Yeah. It's, yeah
yes. But certainly influenced in that.
Yeah, it was part of it for sure, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we stand on the shoulders of everyone who came
always,
before.
Of course,
so,
yeah.
Peter O'Toole learns about how much money you can make making a sitcom.
Oh, yeah.
And we get a phone call. He'd like to do a sitcom.
He'd like to do a sitcom.
This was a few years before Raymond. We got this guy. I was
right.
with a partner at the time. We get this call. And we're like, hell yeah.
Of course.
I mean, he's
it's a huge,
Peter freaking
it's a giant
O'Toole.
Movie star, yeah.
We write this thing for him. He likes it. He gives us notes. Best notes I ever got in my life
wow.
from anyone were from him. Have you read his book?
Yes.
Lawyering with Intent?
Yeah, but it was it's a long time since I read it.
But
I did
you
read it.
You do
yeah.
remember then it was good.
Yeah, I do.
Right?
I do remember it.
Okay, so we have him. He commits to it now. And we're going. And it's NBC. And my phone rings and it's Judd Hirsch out of the blue.
Oh my God.
I heard you're doing a show with Peter O'Toole. Yes, I'd like to be in it. Okay, I don't know if there's a great part for it. He goes, I don't care.
Okay, I'll be in
I want to do
O'Toole,
it.
Man.
So now, NBC show, Peter O'Toole, Judd Hirsch, we start casting the other roles. My phone rings. It's NBC. We're in the middle of casting. Yes, the president of the network would rather not have someone with an accent on the network.
This is fucking Warren Littlefield, isn't it? It
no.
sounds like Warren.
No, it was, I think, the next one.
The one after him?
Maybe.
Yeah.
We don't have to say who it is. I think I know who it is, but...
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And the show was dead.
Just because of the accent?
Now,
for a tool?
Imagine...
That's crazy.
...having to call him.
Well, you did?
I couldn't.
All right.
So I just let the... other people make up some story
yeah.
to him
yeah.
and we stayed friends. We would go to London, my whole family, we would meet him for tea.
Oh, that's great.
And we stayed friends. He would come to LA, visit us. He came to a movie night at my house.
That's beautiful.
I said, can we show, what movie of yours can we show? He goes, you show one of my films, I won't be attending.
That's
and I said, what would you like
cool.
to see? And he said, without hesitation, Cary Grant.
Oh,
and
wow.
I said, and is there a Cary Grant movie? And before I could finish that, he goes, Talk of the Town. Do you
great
know
movie.
That?
Yeah,
you know
it. Say, of course, it's a great movie.
So you know what it's about.
Yeah.
Tell the people.
No, you tell them.
It's Cary Grant and what's her name?
Let me just look it up because I don't want to be disrespectful
but,
about it.
But what happens is it's a lighthearted comedy and this is in the 50s, this movie, and then she gets an abortion.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's the title of the film, Talk of the Town. Can you imagine in the 1950s?
Yeah,
you couldn't do that movie today.
No, you'd be in a lot of trouble. Talk of the Town. Yeah, it's Gene Arthur and Ronald Coleman as well.
Okay, so that movie's phenomenal. I recommend it to people.
Right.
So interesting and so funny. And when the movie's over, he leads a discussion of the movie for the 25 people that are in my house watching this movie.
That's great.
It was
that's very special thing to have happen.
Really special.
Yeah.
I also, before the movie, I always show a music thing. And I said to him, do you know who, have you seen Beyonce? He says, what is a Beyonce? And I put on the song, the famous song,
Single Ladies?
Ring It. Yeah, Single Ladies.
Yeah.
He is leaning forward with his jaw hanging open, laughing like he's seen the greatest thing he's ever seen in his life.
I have to say my reaction when I first saw it was very similar.
Cut to now, after Raymond, someone presents me with a good idea for a show that has older people in it and younger people.
Right.
Together.
Yeah.
I say, this is great. They say, you see it as a show? Yes. You want to take it out and try to sell it to the networks? I say, no, because I've been through this now for many years and I know what the networks will say. Can the younger people move in with younger, hotter people? They don't want the old people.
I wonder why that
But I
is.
Said, but let's try it at the BBC.
Right.
And let's call my friend. Because he should be the lead in this thing.
Right.
He had just done Venus. Remember that movie,
Venus? I do, because he was on the late night show promoting it.
How great was he in that?
Oh, my God.
I mean, here he is, an older guy now.
I know.
The comedy chops are still phenomenal. Even the physical stuff.
There was one of the actors in that movie. You know Leslie Phillips, who was also in that movie? He plays his friend in the movie. At the end, when she says, oh, he was gorgeous, when she's looking at the obituary, and he goes, yes, he was gorgeous, wasn't he? That actor, he was in a movie of mine years ago as well. They were a wonderful generation of actors, amazing. And he, Leslie Phillips, who died recently, he was, I think, 100, Leslie, when he died.
Wow.
But he didn't drink like Pete.
But I'm telling you, a gift to the world would be Peter O'Toole just sitting here and talking about whatever he wants to talk about.
Unbelievable.
For an hour. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Every week, just there's Peter O'Toole here having a drink with him or just chatting with him. Just would be a gift. We write the script.
Yeah.
They say, okay, will Mr. O'Toole read? I said, read?
Read like audition?
Yes.
Peter O'Toole?
Yes.
You're out of your mind?
I said, here's his audition. Lawrence of Arabia is his audition.
Yeah, the ruling class.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Stuntman.
What's new, Pussycat?
Stuntman.
Yeah.
My favorite year.
Yeah, my favorite year. Perfect example.
If you want to cast him in a sitcom.
Yeah.
Or Venus, goddammit.
Yeah,
they were
Venus,
afraid
that was recent.
That he was old.
Yeah.
I said, I can't. I'm not asking Peter O'Toole to read. You can ask him. Well, they didn't.
Do you know what bothers me a lot about this town? Especially when I talk
this
to
This was
Korean.
The BBC.
Yeah, well, that's part of this town.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's
the
like
business.
This town, I mean the business.
Yes.
What bothers me about it is I talk to so many creatives and they talk to me about shows that didn't happen.
That's right.
And it drives me crazy because they sound so
They sound
great.
Good.
They sound great.
Why do you think I'm in the food and travel business?
Yeah, I hear you. But Phil, I got to say to you, and we got to wrap things up pretty soon, but I've got to say to you, I would like to hear your voice outside of the food arena. I mean,
I understand.
It's great. And it's
Thank
very,
you.
But it would
Thank
be
you.
Nice to see a sitcom or a comedy show come out of that head of yours. I know it's there.
It's not for lack of trying.
Oh, really? Still?
Well,
I mean, this what a terrible business. You proved it.
It means nothing. I think that the business changed greatly in the 9 years we were doing Raymond.
Yeah.
And so when we graduated from that, all they wanted were young, pretty people in shows, which is, you know, as good a show as Friends is and was, the business got the wrong lesson from it.
Right.
They thought that, just cast pretty people.
Yeah, but that Friends
but that
has got
Friends
a lot more going on than
the
that.
The exception.
Yeah,
The exception to the rule.
Exactly. But the writing that Marta and was doing on that show, that's incredible. Mark Kaufman was doing on that show.
Of course.
It's great work. They were great, well-crafted shows with a great writer's room.
But you had this casting that was also great.
Yeah, they were great actors.
And that, God doesn't often give with both hands.
Yeah.
You don't go to the pretty people usually for comedy. Why? Because pretty people never have to develop a sense of
that's
humor.
That's right. They haven't had to do it. Yeah.
You have to look like me to develop a sense of humor.
Or me. I get it. But here's the thing. I think that I remember, like, Raymond was out. I was on the Drew Carey show, remember, when Raymond started.
Yes.
And we were, on the Drew Carey show, we were the less aesthetically pleasing cast than the Friends.
It was funny.
It's a funny, It's a funny show. And I remember you guys shot in the Warner Brothers lot, I remember, because
yes.
Ray used to come by, and I remember because he was becoming a big star. And it was, it always stuck with me, and I would say it to him when he was on the old late night show, because it really stuck with me. I watched a guy go from nobody knew who he was,
right,
to be a big star, no discernible change in behavior.
No.
Do you know how fucking rare that is?
You know what he says?
What?
I'm the same guy.
He is the same guy. He was
my
amazing.
My cab driver used to hate me. Now my limo driver hates me.
But it's interesting because it's so, I don't even know if I can say that about myself. Sometimes when I went through successes, I think I became a bit douchey, you know, but I, with Ray, I think that.
Well, he had a very healthy case of neuroticism.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he was a perfect neurotic, I always said, because he only hurt himself.
Yeah.
We meet a lot of neurotics in the business who lash out and hurt everybody else.
Yeah, yeah,
you don't want to work with them.
No,
but Ray was always a pleasure to work with. And the only thing that might have been difficult was convincing him that he was good.
Yeah.
And to relax and enjoy it.
Yeah. It's hard to enjoy it when you're Ray, though.
When you're nuts.
Yeah,
he always says, if my father hugged me once, I wouldn't have to do this.
You know Lewis Black?
Yeah, he's great.
Oh, he's amazing. So I was talking to Lou recently on the program and on the show, and I said to him, my wife's theory about stand-up comedians, which is every stand-up comedian has the same mother, cold with bad boundaries.
Wow. Right?
And so I say that to Lewis, and he goes, oh my God. Two things. One, how did you get to meet such a smart woman?
Yeah.
And two, let me tell you this. His mom had just died. She was 104. He said, I don't think we looked each other in the eye until she was on her deathbed.
Wow.
It's like,
wow.
Jesus. And it goes to your point about pretty people not having to develop comedy. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's developed out, it's born out of something. It's born out of something.
Comedy, I mean, that line about if my dad hugged me once, that's really, if you got enough love at home, maybe you wouldn't need it outside of home.
Yeah.
But we all look for it. We all, in different ways.
Well, you know what? It's worked out okay for you and Ray.
And for you.
Yeah, and for me. You're right. I can't tell you how much I want to congratulate you on Just Try It.
Being
on
the
you and your daughter doing a book to get children to eat their food, and adults. Just try it.
Have an open mind. If you can open a mouth, you can open a mind.
Right, and congratulations on that Netflix show, because that really is a wonderful show.
Thank you,
it's
my friend.
It's a wonderful show.
I appreciate
and you're doing
it.
You're doing great work.
I want people to know I'm doing my live tour.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, where I did it last year, and it was so much fun that I'm doing it again this year, 25 cities.
Is it like, do you have a website or something people go to or something?
PhilRosenthalWorld.com.
There you go.
Or the Instagram.
PhilRosenthalWorld.com.
That's it.
And then all the dates and stuff are there.
They're all there. It starts in April. I can't wait. I love meeting the people.
Go and see Phil. You will be wrong. Somebody feed him.
Hey, please.
See ya.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth, no matter who you are, that mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you.
Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.